Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Well, we had the big financial, the first half fiscal year results from Nintendo. It's a big one. We wanted to dig in and talk about it. This is the first time we've been seeing some solid numbers for Switch 2. So, yeah, this is exciting. Exciting time.
Financials. Yes, we're going to crunch some numbers. So you had to put some glasses on. Got it.
I did. I had to put my glasses on.
Yes. this was a significant update. I mean, they always do these. You know, every mm-hmm. quarter, we always get some sort of an update. But some of them are more detailed than others. And these are always a two-day affair. We get kind of the straight numbers on day one, and then on day two we get the presentation from Mr. Furukawa, and in the days to come there may be more remarks from him that get translated hopefully accurately. But as always, our advice to the people out there who are curious about this stuff is this is all just available. Everything that we are going to be going through, all these slides on the Nintendo Investor Relations site. If you just put that into Google, Nintendo Investor Relations, you can get access to all of this. Put on your glasses like Krista and crunch away.
It's fun. It's really fun to go through this.
You learn a lot.
I mean, you can learn so much and, again, become a bit of a savvier Nintendo fan and kind of project yourself what you think the future of the company will hold. And beyond the numbers, there's always a lot of little tidbits of information in here that really speaks a lot to what Nintendo is prioritizing for the future. What are their big projects that they're focused on? So you can maybe, you know, crystal ball for yourself a little bit, like what the next couple of years is going to look like for you as a Nintendo fan. So that's always a fun thing to do. Anyhow, let's dive into all of this stuff because it's, like you said, it's quite a lot. They did share their consolidated financial highlights. And this is, just means how much money they made. And they made a lot of money.
They made a lot more than they did the last year. Pretty
they
much
did.
Everything is up. In some cases, significantly. Net sales over 100% up. Wow. There are these couple points that are down, and you might be wondering, uh-oh, what's this? Uh-oh, what does that mean? And they explained this. They said, well, this was the period where the Switch 2 came out, so a lot of this was money that was coming in based on hardware, which just has a lower profit margin than a lot of the other things that we were selling. And of course, we also had the interesting wrinkle of tariffs in this time, which kind of squeezed those profit margins even more. So that's a very reasonable explanation for why those profit-specific ones are a bit down.
Yeah, but you know, they can expect to close that gap, so to speak, over time, because what they're going to make a lot of money on for a very long time is software. So they're, as soon as they kind of settle in on this, you can expect those numbers, those down areas, to shrink significantly because they'll start to sell more software to you at a very high price point.
Right. And to be clear, there is still a lot of profit. Look at that.
Yes, of course.
Like, wow, that is. And so things are going great. Things are going so great that they have raised their forecasts for almost everything. Wow. Mm-hmm. And pretty significantly. Like, we know Nintendo's very conservative. Sometimes they will, you know, set a conservative forecast, or sometimes even proactively lower that because it's like, oh, we're not sure. They're like, hey, business is booming. We're going to raise this stuff by like double digits almost across
it's
the board.
Crazy. Yeah.
Pretty unprecedented.
Yeah. Good for them. Yeah, they really are just like, it seems to be going extremely well for them. And the other thing that's related to this is something that we've been talking about a lot is they have been able to keep this stuff in stock.
Yes.
And they've seen the trajectory of the sales sort of velocity of the stuff they've been keeping in stock. They're selling through at a very good pace. And so since they're able to keep it in stock, they are able to, you know, raise these forecasts. So yeah, Switch 2, they had a previous forecast of 15 million units. Now it's 19 million units, which is
a lot
in the first sort of, not even the first calendar year, but the first fiscal year of this thing being out in the world, to sell almost 20 million units before the thing's been out for even a full year is incredible stuff. So, wow.
Yes. It's remarkable to be able to raise the amount that you're going to sell of your new piece of hardware by 25%. And to your point, that's a testament to how much they were willing to make. And I think that's a theme that we're going to be coming back to throughout this whole update. Right. Is just like, this is kind of the secret behind how that is driving all of this positive momentum that they have.
Right.
The Switch hardware forecast did get taken down a little bit. Interestingly, the software one got raised. Mr. Furukawa talked a little bit about later about the plan for Nintendo Switch, which is interesting as well.
Yes.
So Switch 2 is at 10.36 million units as of the time of them recording this. And we also got updates on the big software titles. So Mario Kart World, 9.5 million units. Donkey Kong Bonanza at 3.5 million units. You can do the math to come up with those tie ratios. That's a very high tie ratio
for
Mario Kart World. Of course, they do have
bundle.
The bundle, which is the majority of what they have been selling.
Yes.
That bundle is supposedly getting phased out. We don't know the exact details of that. So, and that's not a tie ratio that you can, you know, sustain forever. So when
that
number does start to go down, I don't think anybody's going to be getting worried. It's like, all right, this is the natural order of things
as
we can come out of the launch. Yes.
And the standalone software is quite expensive as well. So I think people that wanted this game would have gotten the bundle anyway. So yeah.
Where's my welcome tour sales update? That's what I was looking for. I didn't get that. I wonder why.
Yeah. Donkey Kong 2, reporting really strong numbers here. And, you know, people were saying, like, can Donkey Kong carry a brand new hardware launch? It was sort of the second game that came out in that, like, immediate launch window. And people were wondering, you know, it's not a Mario game. It's not a Zelda game. Is it going to carry? And it did really well. So it's a testament, again, to Nintendo. Like, they have more amazing IP that can do numbers in their arsenal that's not Mario and Zelda, you know?
It's a bit tricky to make sense of some of the sales numbers for, you know, the first 6 months, first year of a new piece of hardware, because it's going to be a smaller number because there's a smaller number of systems out there that can play it. So I have seen some people looking at that Donkey Kong number and like, oh, okay, 3.5 million. Is that good? Is that not good? I totally understand. Like, it can be a bit hard to get that kind of perspective on it. But later on, when Mr. Furukawa did his presentation, he did focus on Donkey Kong. He's like, no, we're very happy with this, and we're going to continue to push this. That number is just going to keep going up.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Let's get into what Mr. Furukawa said. And this was kind of the second phase of this communication, where he goes up and he makes a big presentation, and all these slides are just up there on that IR site. And that's where we pulled all this information from. And he kind of led off with, you know, this pretty interesting point of Switch 2. We had a really hot start here. We have been also supporting Nintendo Switch, but from this point forward, software development will be focused on the Switch 2. And that's always a question in these transitions of like, well, how long is this transition going to take? How long are you going to need to be making software for the old thing to slowly move people along who are these laggards? In this case, it's like, no, we're moving on.
Yeah, no, I'm actually really happy to see this because you don't want to drag it out so much. Yes, you want transition, and Switch 2 is backwards compatible. So there's definitely going to be some, you know, late coming Switch game, especially from third parties or indie developers, that, you know, you don't want it to just completely not be something people are playing or completely unplayable. But since there's backwards compatibility, you don't have to worry about that too much. But from a first party perspective, it is good to see that they are starting to really like kind of cut that cord and move into this new phase of the Switch 2. And, you know, we saw this transition becoming a little bit clunky at the end of the PS4, PS5 life cycle, where it just felt like it dragged out for too long.
For years.
For years, exactly. So I'm glad to see that, you know, they are making a concerted effort to sort of move on and move forward and support, you know, really centering around support for Switch 2.
Well, we're going to be beating this dead horse. What was the difference between the PS5 and the Switch 2? Switch 2 was readily in stock, where nobody could find a PS5. So I think that transition could have been a lot faster for PlayStation,
right,
if they had that stock. That's no blame on them. They were doing this in the teeth of the pandemic. That was incredibly hard. It's just like, yeah, this is just a different situation for how these consoles were launched.
Exactly.
So they talked a bit about the stock situation, and they said, you know, we've been able to manage the demand in most regions. There are still some regions where the Switch 2 is a little bit hard to find. And they're saying, Mr. Furukawa was saying, you know, we're going to be flexible. You know, we want to meet the demand in all of the regions to say, if you want a Switch 2, you can just get one. But they're like, yeah, we're gonna be monitoring this, and we can kind of flex up and down based on how much we think the market needs, which is again kind of the key to this whole thing.
Yeah. I know that they have said in Japan that that's still a very challenging thing. The lottery system is still in place for a lot of those for people that want to buy a Switch 2 in Japan. So yes, they seem to be well aware of, you know, how this success is really due to the in-stock. So it's, I think it's pretty clear to them that, like, yes, to maintain this momentum, as they like to say, and meet the newly raised forecast, they're just going to need to have this stuff in stock. So, yeah.
Then he made some remarks about software, and obviously we saw the tie ratio for Mario Kart World. He kind of positioned it a little bit of a different way, saying about 9 out of 10 people who purchased a Switch 2 have played Mario Kart World. You know, any way you slice it, like, there's a lot of people who just have exposure to this. And again, like, there's so many narratives online about, like, oh, Mario Kart World is a failure,
game,
or nobody's
failure
playing that, or it's a dead game. It's like, oh, let's kind of pump the brakes on those, because that is, you know, clearly fulfilling the goal for this piece of software of being the central thing that people experience on the Switch 2 during the launch.
Yeah. Exactly. So I don't think Mario Kart 8 Mario Kart World was a failure.
Yeah. And then Donkey Kong Bonanza, again, like, it is hard to tell, you know, just based on a number when you're early in the life cycle. And they said, no, this is great. You know, we got a lot of support from players. The number is good. And they specifically pointed out that they're going to put effort to make this another evergreen title for the Switch 2. Mm-hmm. So that's a strong indicator that, you know, we're going to be seeing more from this game, you know, not from necessarily updates, but just from visibility in the way that Nintendo talks about the Switch 2 library. So I do expect that number to rise pretty steadily as people keep picking up hardware. That's going to be one of the games that they think a lot about getting from a very early point. It does seem like Nintendo is happy with the results so far.
And they have been doing some, you know, additional, they did the DLC update recently. They did do a special event for the Emerald Rush. So they are making a big effort to keep people playing, to keep people interested, to keep people coming back to this game. And I think they know to have like a evergreen title. You know, I think that what they want for Donkey Kong Bonanza is for it to kind of enjoy the long play that people had with Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. So I can see them continuing to support this game whether it's through visibility or even through smaller updates and smaller in-game events and things like that. So that does seem like it's going to be a roadmap of what they're going to be using to support this game for a very long time.
Yeah, this next slide is an interesting one, just in the way that they are presenting the information. Yes. And the way that they are positioning it. So let's look at this first line here. 84% of Nintendo Switch 2 players have transitioned from Nintendo Switch. That if you asked 10 people, what does that mean? I don't think you're getting 10 people saying the same thing. I think you're yes. going to get some people saying, oh, 84% of people who had a Switch bought a Switch 2. Wow. Good job, Nintendo. So yeah. it's kind of an interesting sleight of hand of slicing and dicing the data, which they're very good at.
Yes, they're very good at this. I immediately smelled PR spin and was like, I don't like this slide. They're trying to pull the wool over your eyes by giving you this very strong, you know, data point of 84% of Switch 2 players have transitioned. But if you really look at what this means, so the total number of Switch 2s that are sold is 10 million. That means, just doing some math here, that means 8.4 million people that bought a Switch 2 are people that have had an original Switch. So taking that a little bit further, the Switch 1 lifetime sales were 154 million. That means, again, doing some tabletop math here, that means about 5.5% of Switch owners have upgraded to Switch 2 so far.
All right, I'm going to trust your math on that because I don't have glasses to put on.
Don't worry,
superiority.
I checked it many times.
Okay, and then we have this interesting little thing at the bottom of like, The breakdown of Switch adoption timing. So for the when you bought a Switch 1, when did those people buy a Switch 2, basically? So again, the majority are the early adopters who got the Switch 1 in the first year. They're going to be the most likely to get the Switch 2 early on. It makes sense. I'm very interested in the people who bought a Switch and a Switch 2 in 2025, but that's a very small number. So this slide stood out to us of like, they are working some magic on the numbers for this one.
This is a PR spin slide. Yes. This is not real data. And you definitely should not think in your head when seeing this number that out of 154 million people that have a Switch 1, 84% of 150 million people did not transition and buy a Switch 2 because they only sold 10 million Switch 2s. So, yeah. So you get the math. The math doesn't make sense here.
Right.
And the math doesn't math.
Next, he just lays out, he's like, well, here was the formula for this becoming as successful as it was. It's the fastest selling hardware, and they're still ahead of that record-breaking pace. Multiple hit titles, yep. The most extensive third-party lineup, okay. And then this smooth transition of again, people who wanted it were able to get it. And that's kind of, you add all that up, we got a successful launch on our hands.
Yes.
He then kind of transitions into some bigger picture stuff, and he does reiterate the purpose of Nintendo to create smiles through entertainment. And yeah, you know, this time,
pause the
emphasis
on the word
here, entertainment.
I was going to say emphasis and pause on the word entertainment, not creating smiles through video games, through right. entertainment.
And let's look at specifically the words he chose when he went through this slide. Entertainment is always at the heart of our business, and we remain committed to being a company that creates smiles around the world through family-friendly experiences. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is something that Mr. Iwata told us over a decade ago. Like, we are not yes. a video game company. We are an entertainment company. And back then, you kind of had to take him on his word that the company was building to that. But today, it's a true statement.
They
achieved that. That vision was actually achieved. So they deserve a lot of credit for doing that. Mr. Iwata deserves a lot of credit for envisioning this strategy for the company. So I imagine there's a lot of pride when they're able to say these things and back up how they did it.
Exactly. Yeah. They've truly transitioned from a very classic, very traditional company that just makes video games and video game hardware to an entertainment like juggernaut at this point. They have so many legs of their business that's equally important as the video game part. The video game part is like in equal parts as important as their movie stuff, as their theme parks, as their merch, as their whatever other entertainment experiences you want to put in that category. You know, video games is now just a small or an equal parts percentage of that.
Yeah. And then he kind of went on to talk about Nintendo's unique approach to entertainment. Again, I'll read exactly what he said. In the world of entertainment, even the most captivating experiences will eventually lose their novelty. That's why we believe there is value in being different and a constant need to create new and surprising experiences. Mm-hmm. And that's always been a constant for the company, of thinking differently, creating something unexpected that is going to surprise people. And now it's just being expanded from, you know, let's make an idea for a game that's different to, let's, in all of our endeavors, including these more broad entertainment, let's apply that to those as well.
Yeah. And he gives a lot of examples here of, you know, movies and character merch and real world experiences and mobile apps. So video games is certainly a part of that. But again, it's not the only thing. And it's certainly not even like the biggest thing. It's just one of the things, of the five things he lists here.
Well, it's still at the center. It is still at the center of it all. That is kind of the main focal point where these things emerge. But yeah, those are major areas of growth for them. Then he went on to talk about, you know, he calls them the key principles for our business activities, which are growing the IP fan base and fostering long-term relationships with consumers. And then when he talked about the IP fan base, there was this image that's been getting a lot of attention from people of these characters and, you know, people pointing out like, okay, these are the characters that Nintendo is prioritizing. Interesting to see Fox McCloud on there.
Yes.
Since we haven't had a worthwhile Star Fox game in quite some time. But, you know, this is no surprise to us, as, you know, the company would always reiterate to us that the IP is the lifeblood. The IP must be managed very tightly. We must make the right decisions. We must be very careful in choosing partners. Mm-hmm. All of the above.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And this mix of characters is not a surprise to me at all.
Then we go into the point of fostering these long-term relationships. And yeah, you know, it is a very family-oriented company. So creating fans from a very young age who will stay fans by the time that they're adults. And then when if they go on to have families of their own, that love of Nintendo is passed down. So you just kind of have this never-ending cycle of hopefully growing Nintendo fandom.
Yeah, they really put a lot of emphasis, and this was happening, you know, for as long as we were at the company, and certainly is still a big part of this idea of this generational growth. And they really have this emphasis put on like parents that introduce Nintendo to their kids. And then they become, you know, the kids now are in the Nintendo ecosystem. I think that's why they have a lot of new initiatives that we saw this year of how to bring really, really young kids into the Nintendo ecosystem with like the My Mario stuff. So this idea of maintaining these like multi-generational bonds was something that was very important at Nintendo, was kind of drilled into us. And then, yeah, you can see here that it's still a huge part of how they are looking at, you know, how to maintain a really strong consumer base for their stuff.
And one of the ways that they believe they are keeping that relationship with their fans is Nintendo Account, which on the next slide, we get some numbers for how all these things are, you know, how many people are bought in on those. So 128 million annual playing users, 400 million Nintendo accounts, and 34 million NSO members. The Nintendo Account one's interesting. It's the biggest number. But even, again, like many, many years ago when we worked at Nintendo, like we were given these talks of like, we cannot emphasize the importance of the Nintendo account, of growing the number of people who have a Nintendo account.
Yeah.
That's such a vital thing for the long-term growth of the business. And again, for us, like there were not so many proof points then of like, why? Like, okay, you're telling me this, but can you tell me a little bit more about why, or what you're going to do with this, or how it's going to be applied? And now you can start to see it with all of these other things that are hooked into it, all of the ways that they can keep in touch with you long term, whether it's, you know, some sort of an app or some other sort of thing that you're doing, your shopping history on the eShop, it is becoming a lot more tangible. So again, that was something that they did a good job of calling many, many, many years ago.
And the most important thing for them here is they want to track your data. They want to track everything that you are doing. And, you know, they launched that new app, the Nintendo Shop app, where it does show you your play data for all your games. I mean, this is just a fraction of what they're actually seeing from you. They're giving you a little taste of things that they're tracking. And it's pretty crazy. They're tracking not only, you know, the highest things that you, the highest games that you've sunk the most hours into, but daily playtime. You know, they're tracking so much data from you because of this Nintendo account that they can use to keep you in the Nintendo ecosystem. So that's why it's such an important thing for them to have every, you know, Nintendo user have an account so they can get all the data they can out of you.
Yep. Kind of ended this segment with a little bit of a tease, talking about movies. And mm-hmm. we obviously already had the first Mario movie. We know about the Mario Galaxy movie. It's coming in a few months, next year. 2027, we've got the Zelda movie coming. And then he just kind of teased, like, hey, there's more of these coming. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, two question marks and then three dots, which means many movies are probably on their way. I'm so curious about what the next one, now that they've done Mario and Zelda, it kind of opens up the IP kind of you know, possibilities a little bit more, because yeah, you got to start with Mario and Zelda, but now it's like, oh, is it Fire Emblem? Is it
Fox? Obviously it's a Star Fox movie, since we had Fox Star on Fox? That slide, and now we
there
have this
go.
Slide with it. I've solved it.
Yes. Fox McCloud, the biopic coming our way.
Yeah. He kind of wraps up the presentation with a segment that is truly like very investor heavy about like, here's why we need money. Because these things cost a lot of money. Here's what we're doing with the money. He talks about how they're building the new development center in Kyoto, which is going to expand their capabilities, talks about how, you know, we need money to be involved in these movies to the degree where we have a lot of control to make them the way that we want.
Makes sense. You know,
the price for making a big modern game is bigger than it's ever been. So I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on that. But again, that's interesting. That's there if you want to just kind of see this very like, hey, investors, come here. Let's go talk about this money stuff for a little bit.
Yeah, we're doing good, but we still need to, you know, spend money to continue being successful.
Right. So that was kind of the conclusion of his presentation. And then we got this interesting proof point to, you know, his point about the relationship building side of things with this new app that came out of nowhere last night, the Nintendo Store app, which we got a lot of Nintendo apps now.
I know. My Nintendo folder is very full.
It's a lot of
phone.
Stuff. So this basically gives you a direct hook to the eShop. You can buy physical goods on here, which is cool. So it does seem like I haven't tracked like one for one, but a lot of stuff that was on that My Nintendo store, you can get through that app, which is nice. And they've got some really kind of savvy ways that they're furnishing everything. So it's like, hey, we've got a Zelda category that's got some Zelda games. It's got some Zelda merch. It's got some Zelda amiibo. Why don't you just go on a Zelda shopping spree? It has a tab for news, which I really have to wonder why we have a tab for news when we have a dedicated app for news in Nintendo Today. I was sort of scratching my head at that.
What is that all about?
You can directly track your wish list, which is a nice thing. And then, yeah, kind of socked away in the back, a little bit out of the way, is this very extensive play activity section that is tracked all the way back to 2011. If you were playing back then on a 3DS.
Yeah. It has all my data from that. It's so crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty significant change of approach in this, where we got, you know, such vague numbers. If you just looked on your Switch, it's like, well, maybe you've played about 20 hours. I don't know. Don't worry about it. And now it's like so granular down to like this
daily
playtime for this long.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
And I don't really have a good explanation for why they're doing this now or why they are changing it to be so granular, but it is fascinating to go back and look.
I know. We had a lot of community members sharing screenshots of their most played games. And, you know, we were all just fascinated by each other's data of like, oh my gosh, how come you played for 12 hours on this day? What were you doing? no shame, just curiosity. It was incredible. It is interesting, though, a couple things on this. Like, you know, like you were saying, there's just a lot of Nintendo apps now, and there seems to be some overlap with some of these.
Yeah. Like,
the news section for this, I looked at it, it is sort of a – it looks the same as what it looks like on the eShop for your Switch. Like, it's like the Nintendo news, like what you would see on your Switch is kind of translated into the store app. So, yes, it looked a little different than – Nintendo today, but it is still hard to understand, like, why would they even have a news section when they have a dedicated app for Nintendo news and updates?
Yeah,
and they had a problem with people, you know, falling off of Nintendo Today and having not, you know, been engaging with Nintendo Today. So I'm not sure why they would do this, because it seems to be like a double thing that would shoot themselves in the foot with Nintendo Today.
You immediately think of an all-in-one Nintendo app that just has all of this. It has the Nintendo Switch app. Remember that? It's got the shop app. It's got Nintendo Music. It's got Nintendo Today. And guess what? That would be a pretty great app. Like,
I would use that app. That would be awesome. I would actually use it.
And you could even have a lot more opportunities to upsell people on things. Because if you don't have NSO, and it's like, oh, well, I've got this Nintendo Music thing staring me in the eye every time I look at this. Maybe I'll do it and check it out.
Exactly.
Versus like, I don't have that. I don't think about that. I don't even know that
I'm not downloading this app.
It exists.
Whatever.
So I do wonder what the long-term app strategy is, because this is a little clunky, even though I think this is a really welcome addition. This is something we've been saying, like, oh yeah, they should add this. You know, we were saying they should add it to the Nintendo Switch app.
Yeah.
I'm glad they have it, but it's a lot to juggle.
It is. It is. They should really clean this up a little bit, because it is a very, like we talk about in marketing, like what is the customer journey with how they're engaging with your products? Because at the end of the day, whether they're reading a piece of news or looking at merch on a store app or listening to a Nintendo Music, the end point of all of this is for you to buy some stuff. That's what they want you to do. You know, that's the point of all of these apps and all of these different entry points into Nintendo stuff. So they really should clean up this part of it so that the customer journey is very clear. It's very clear, like, how you're flowing in to give them money to buy stuff. Yeah. So clunky, but I was fascinated by the data. The play activity was awesome to see.
Yeah. So that's all the information we have to work with. And wow, that was a lot. That was a really meaty update that they gave us and really interesting to look at. But I just want to ask you, like, do you have like one or two key takeaways after going through all this?
Yeah, my key takeaway is, like, everything is going according to plan for them. You know, despite all of the sort of negativity that was surrounding the Switch 2 launch, this ongoing sort of underlining bad sentiment or whatever, you know, it is that we're feeling a little bit when you look at comment sections on the internet or the conversations that people are having about this new generation being a failure, or Nintendo's never going to get people on board with expensive games, and the Switch 2 has no games that I want to play. Like, clearly that is not reality. The reality is that they are selling gamebusters. They're doing gamebusters. They're doing really well. Everything is going, is probably either at their expectations or even exceeding their expectations to some degree. But what they're really good at, and what we always learned when we were at Nintendo, is like, you never get to take a break. You're doing well right now. You could be a failure tomorrow. So we're not taking our foot off the gas. You're going to work yourself to the bone to keep this momentum going for, like, the next, you know, 10 years or however long this generation is going to be. And they still have a long road. I mean, like, again, when we looked at the actual numbers of how many people that have an original Switch have converted to a Switch 2, that's only 5%, 5.5% of that 154 million has converted to a Switch 2. So they're going to be working to get that 95%. to convert to a Switch 2 in the coming years.
And it's going to be harder because those are people who are not day one adopters. These are not people who are lined up outside of a GameStop like us.
Right.
These are people who are more casual players, and you're going to need to do something a little bit different that in some cases is going to be a bit harder to get those people to make a move up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. Business is booming. Everything is working. And it does just seem like, you know, for all of the terrible stories that you see across the game industry of games getting canceled, people getting laid off, people ripping up the way of doing business, like this just doesn't work anymore. It's like, this is the one place where things are working, things are going okay in the games industry. And it's just so interesting to see that somehow Nintendo is the only place that is able to keep this up.
Yeah, exactly. It is. It's a very interesting and, you know, deliberate mix of business strategies that they've kind of put together for it to work. It's going to take it's not just happening like on its own. It's not on like autopilot, though. You know what I mean? Like, they are going to do the work to keep it going and maintain. I mean, they got a long road ahead of them. I mean, this is not even the end of year one yet. We're looking at like 8+ more years of work.
We haven't even had 6 months.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is early. You are just like, you're stretching before the race. You haven't even started that marathon. You're like, you know, you're like eating, drinking some water. So this is not really what's going to be. I mean, it's a strong start, but the more interesting thing is like sustaining it, consistency. Will it be sustained and will it be consistent for, yeah, like 8+ years? And that's hard work. That's hard work. That's a lot of focus that, you know, Nintendo has to really like, you know, be aware of. But I think they can do it. And it seems like everything is going really well. And I think as a Nintendo fan, we can be excited about a lot of amazing stuff coming to Switch 2 and cool entertainment things, movies, awesome merch. Like, we can be excited for all these things because it seems like they're really focused on it. And so it's going to be fun.
Yeah. And as far as what they need to do to stay successful, they literally told us in this presentation, they told us the plan, you know, on the gaming side, it's, you know, keep the thing in stock, make the hit games, have the third parties on there, you know, keep people engaged. And then there's, you know, all the work that they're doing with the different entertainment properties to keep people hooked in and keep people having a strong relationship with Nintendo. It's like they literally told us what they are going to be doing at a very high level for the years to come.
And honestly, this, like, how do they stay successful and the plan that they have to stay successful hasn't changed for like 30+ years or whatever it is, because ever since we were there, and that was, you know, I was there for 13 years. That was the plan. and it's still the plan. So it's not like they're like dramatically shifting the plan in this generation. You know, it's nothing like that. It's kind of like, yeah, this has been the plan and it's going to be the plan forever. So stay the course and stay focused. Yeah. And I think that's a recipe for success for them, because yeah, they're very good at staying focused. They don't get distracted, you know, by all of the trendy things that are happening out there, or trying to chase something that, you know, eventually becomes not trending anymore. And then you've like, you know, spent all this money on stuff. So they're very good at this. And I think this is why they are able to be one of the beacons of success in this games industry. So congratulations to Nintendo for being so successful in their launch of Switch 2.
Nice to have some good news to talk about.
It is, yeah. All right, I think we did it. I think we went through the majority of this. Let us know
a lot of stuff.
As you were perusing, you know, I'm sure as all of you are doing on a daily basis, perusing this IR site and getting deep into Nintendo financials, if you saw anything that was interesting to you, let us know. We definitely encourage people to check out, like, all this stuff that Nintendo just puts out there for the public to see so you can learn for yourself. But we had fun going through all of this. It's going to be an exciting couple of years for a Nintendo fan. So I think we're feeling pretty good. All right. We are going to wrap this up and we'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.